voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson filling in for Doug Padgett today for local Minnesota Radio Hour. And in fact, we will be filling in the next five Thursdays. So get your fix of the fellas, Thursdays in October.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Doug's on his Vote Common Good tour across the country to change Congress for the common good. So we'll be filling in. He will be hosting in October, just at a limited schedule. But we got a fabulous show for you today. I want to give an update on an interview we did a few weeks back. Some wonderful developments have occurred as a result of the interview we did here on AM 950, as well as give some analysis of the Doug Wardlow-Keith Ellison debate that occurred over the weekend. And then I put my radio rival on blast. There's some dishonest right-wing radio going on, and I was a part of it. So I will expose my rival. And then we have producer Sam Turnberg coming in to speak about St. Paul's minimum wage increase and the consequences of a tip penalty that are in the works right now. Find out more about that, and we get into the Kavanaugh hearing and all that's going on with that. But Eric, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing peachy.
Yeah, it's a nice cool fall day.
Yeah, it's first starting to feel like fall like this week.
Mm-hmm. It's starting to look like fall too. The trees are changing. The temperature is great though. It's cool, sunny. Right now it's a little cloudy, but the week in general has been great. Well, a couple weeks back, we had 13-year-old Jaquan Faulkner here on AM 950. I spoke with him about his famous hot dog stand, and I want to give an update. We spoke with the 13-year-old entrepreneur, Jaquan Faulkner, of Mr. Faulkner's Old Fashioned Hot Dogs. Jaquan, if you don't remember, started a hot dog stand out of his front porch in North Minneapolis this summer. He got shut down temporarily, but the North Minneapolis Police Department helped him acquire all the proper certificates to reopen and legitimized his business. So I sat down with Jaquan when he was set up at the 4th Police Precinct in August, and Jaquan had done a variety of different local news and even some national televised news broadcasts, but those interviews are only about 30 to 60 seconds long. So his uncle told me that our interview was his first in-depth interview that he has done. And he shared with us a couple things. One, his idol that he wished he could serve a hot dog to, or the person that he would choose to serve if he could choose anyone, as well as some of his goals. Here, Eric, play the clip of our interview.
If you could have anyone stop by the shop, who would be your dream person to come get a hot dog? Like Stefan Diggs or Jimmy Butler, anyone like that?
And this might sound a little weird, but Damon John. And what he does is he does closing for FUBU, which FUBU means is for us, by us. He started out young like me, and then when he first made his couple dollars, he realized he's enjoyed it. And what he did was he went straight back to the store and bought some more. And I really looked up to that. Like, I imagined myself being something like that.
That's an awesome answer. I got a feeling Jaquan's going to be on Shark Tank one day anyways. So you have a crowdfunding set up. I can't remember if it's GoFundMe, but why don't you tell me the details on that and what your goals are when people do contribute?
That is like more to give me like a cart so I won't have to be stationary. So if there's an event, I'm able to move the cart there and I'm able to move it back instead of having to do so much work for it.
Well, a couple of weeks after this interview, Jaquan was on the Steve Harvey Show, and the producers of the Steve Harvey Show listened to our interview when researching Jaquan, and they made a couple of his dreams come true. Play the Steve Harvey clip.
You're doing pretty good, man. You got legitimate. I also know that business costs can get expensive. So our friends at Conagra, who are famous for their Hebrew National hot dog brand, they heard all about the great work that Jaquan is doing So they want to make sure that you continue to grow your hot dog business. So they want to give you $10,000, man.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
$10,000. Well, I tell you what, let me take this for a minute, man, because I need to hook you up with one of my friends. He happens to know a little bit about business and success. From Shark Tank, everybody welcome my buddy, Damon John. How you feeling?
All right, what's happening? So I have a surprise for you. So we called up my buddies over at Hamburger Schlumberger, and we have for you right now a hot dog stand. Your own very hot dog stand. There you go, look at it.
Oh!
Yeah. Now don't take that $10,000 and put no rims on it.
Yeah.
Don't take that $10,000 and put rims on it.
Yeah.
But it's really important, and I think that's important for you. And I wanted to personally also give you something to further your education, because, you know, when school ends, the education doesn't stop. Life is about series of learning. So what I want to give to you is a brand new laptop. That is for school, inside and outside. I also loaded that with my entrepreneurial course called Damon on Demand Forever. Yeah. It's yours. And we're very, very proud of you. Thank
man,
you, Steve,
that's
for
so
me
good, brother.
This opportunity, man.
No, man, that's so cool. Yeah. That's so cool, Damon.
That's awesome. I am so happy that could occur for Jaquan, and I'm thrilled to be a part of that. I mean, the whole story is such a feel-good story. And he's a great kid, and I got his back. Whatever he wants to do, anything he wants to promote, he's welcome here on AM 950. Jaquan, you the man.
Yeah, as long as he keeps those hot dogs going.
Those hot dogs are really good, too. Like, I mean, most hot dogs are just a hot dog, but occasionally you hit the spot. Like, dome dogs, those are really good, but Jaquan's... it's juicy. It, like, the way he cooks it, he described it to me, but it really does come across with the flavor.
Yeah, as a native Chicago resident, I can attest to a good hot dog, and he's definitely got one.
Mm-hmm. Hot dog, we have a wiener. Well.
You're canceled.
Remember The Simpsons? They had the radio course and the Radio-matic that replaced all the talk radio hosts. Hot dog, we have a wiener. But anyways, Keith Ellison and Doug Wardlow had a debate this weekend. Almanac hosted a debate with the candidates for the Minnesota Attorney General's race. We had Keith Ellison, the DFL-endorsed candidate. We had Sandal Sock Toe Doug Wardlow, the GOP candidate, and Noah Johnson, the Grassroots Legalized Cannabis Party candidate. Grassroots Legalized Cannabis Party. Sounds like a party. Eric, you know anything about the Grassroots Legalized Cannabis Party?
Other than they're unfortunately hard to say name, no. I've seen them around at a couple of events, like setting up booths, but I haven't really interacted with them.
Well, they have clearly their principal issue is legalizing marijuana, and then their platform otherwise is pretty similar to the Green Party.
But, grass, that's a good point.
Yeah, I know. Grassroots Legalized Cannabis Party. But anyways, the debate, we got a chance to see the character of Wardlow and Ellison. Wardlow claimed right off the bat he would not join any politically motivated lawsuit as Attorney General. He says the AG office is apolitical and concerned with enforcing laws and standing up to the rule of law. And he really echoed this over and over again in the debate that as Attorney General, he would be apolitical, and it was a way he could skirt by giving any sort of stance on any issue or to get any clear vision of what Wardlow stands for. Ellison, on the other hand, said he would stand up for the rights of Minnesotans, said he would join other state AGs, Republican or Democrat, to stand up for the rights of the people. As Wardlow continued to push the narrative that the AG is apolitical, Ellison responded, "It's not about politics or no politics. It's about how can we help the people improve their lives." And I like that. Keith Ellison, he got his character across in this, and he had a little bit of his North Minneapolis swag, too. He was able to control the debate and steer it, whereas Doug Wardlow came across as a guy who has to redo high fives several times because he doesn't have the coordination or timing. Just,
you got to watch the elbow. Come on, Wardlow.
An issue that we did get to see more of the contrast of the two candidates was when addressing the opioid epidemic. And Doug Wardlow, his plan was to rebuild the criminal justice department. He would not go after Big Pharma at all as a solution. It was a comprehensive increase in expanding criminal justice to punish drug users as a solution to the epidemic. It was a stark contrast between Ellison and Noah Johnson, who both wanted to address consumer protections and civil aspects of Big Pharma's involvement in this epidemic. And as Noah Johnson put it, he wanted to tackle Big Pharma rather than just throw addicts in jail, as Wardlow was implying his plan was. And that scares me, because this race is close, and Doug Wardlow's plan of just increasing the drug war and pushing, making the criminal justice the priority rather than tackling any of Big Pharma, because Big Pharma is absolutely responsible for this public health crisis that we have now.
Yeah, I'm curious, what is the current penalties for heroin possession right now? Because I think it's a felony for a very small amount.
Yeah, and
how much worse does he want to get?
Exactly, and how Republicans, they'll claim that they see a difference between the drug users and the drug dealers, but when he's pushing to uphold the law and order of Minnesota, the law doesn't see a difference between users and dealers. They're both felons. So you can't make that claim when you get caught with drugs. But larger, what I want to get to is heroin was once a taboo. It was reserved to just the fringes of society. It was so far removed, your average person would have no scenario in which they would come in contact with heroin. But gone are the days where the junkies reserved to the Panic and Needle Park, because through Big Pharma, we've seen a normalization of the access of opioids. I mean, you have Vicodins, Percocets, oxycodones. They become common in your average person's medicine cabinet. And through the overprescription of these and a system which incentivizes the prescription of opioids, we now face this public health crisis. And that the overexposure of those pills I mentioned have created dependency and just exposure to people. So we have a new archetype of abuser, an addict. Heroin flooded out of the gutters and now is on the main streets of every town and suburb in the country. But what do you do about it? Well, any solution where you want to ignore Big Pharma's contributions to this problem is negligent. I mean, like I said, this was a drug that was rare. Your average person would never see it or interact with a person who would possess it, but the same pills were pushed by a pharmaceutical company and are in every grandma and uncle and mom and son and daughter. They've all been exposed to these opioids. So expanding the criminal justice as your solution to the problem ignores the systemic cause which got us here in the first place, and it turns the victims into criminals. So these, like I said, the law and order Republicans see no difference between drug users and dealers. They're all felons. Through the rule of law, the only rights that Doug Wardlow will stand up for in this whole ordeal is for the pharmaceutical companies, which he implied during the debate have done nothing wrong in the eyes of the law and his apolitical office as he sees it. Doug skirted most of the issues by claiming they're legislative issues, so he wouldn't address his stance on really anything. And he responded rather that he'd uphold the laws of Minnesota.
I mean, but, I'm for criminal justice if that criminal justice involves prosecuting the people involved in actively marketing and pushing these drugs towards the consumer.
Mm-hmm. And as an attorney general, your vision colors what you go after, and you make choices. So the claim of an apolitical office, the claim that it's an apolitical office is ridiculous to begin with because, one, they're endorsed by political parties, and two, they're campaigning statewide. So that's politics right there. But as a way to not address your ideas, that is his best strategy and his only chance to win, because Doug Wardlow's ideas are scary and they don't line up with the values of Minnesotans. He's a member of the Alliance Defending Freedom, one of the most powerful far-right conservative Christian legal organizations in the country. This group is recognized by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group. I mean, this is his bread and butter. This is what he's proud of, and it's recognized by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group. They have a strong anti-LGBT organization supporting the recriminalization of homosexuality in the U.S. and abroad, and they defend state-sanctioned sterilization of trans people, claiming that a homosexual agenda will destroy Christianity and society.
Yeah, that sounds like a hate group, to say the least.
Wardlow, he said that the government doesn't have the ability to force business owners to violate their religious beliefs without homosexuality or anything else for that matter.
But they should be able to force sterilization on people.
Doug, he bemoaned the Supreme Court's decision to allow same-sex couples the same right to marriage already given to heterosexual couples, calling it totalitarian impulse. All right, Doug. He said it effectively strips away Christians' right to believe that marriage could only exist between one man and one woman. Once you have the government coming in and telling people what they have to believe, we're not many steps from tyranny. And this is what's concerning of Wardlow's apolitical claims. I mean, he really wants to push the idea that he is there to stand up for individual liberties. But which ones? When a religious view of the world is more important than the rights of people, that's a political view. That's an agenda. And Wardlow's strategy in this campaign is to paint ads of extremist Keith Ellison. And it's the same tactics that Republicans are using nationwide with Hillary Clinton and the Russia collusion with Trump going, no, Hillary did it. The Republican strategy has been, I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? And the entire debate, I felt like Keith was trying to get across who he was, who his character is, what he believes in, and Wardlow was pushing who he wants you to believe Keith Ellison is while hiding his own character. And that's his only chance to win, is to create this persona of indifference because his actual interests are frightening and unpopular and are not aligned with Minnesotans.
I mean, that's the entire Republican playbook.
It is.
Is try to paint the other people as bad and never explain exactly what you're going to do. Just scare people with what the other side's going to do.
Mm-hmm. And Matt's been talking about that frequently. And it's true. This cycle, Republicans are talking like Democrats when they're campaigning. But when you look on all of their records, they do not stand up for these things that they're championing. Well, we're going to take a break. Number is 952-946-6205. And when we come back, I will talk about my talk radio rival here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance company. companies.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
Lots of good things come in threes, like three-pointers, a triple scoop ice cream cone, and Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's triple savings sale. Just install a new furnace and AC this September and you'll triple your savings to the tune of $2,700. That's right. Get rebates and other discounts for a total of $2,700 in savings. Learn more about Standard's triple savings sale at standardheatingdeals.com. That's standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota-certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers. They offer a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty, feature incredibly low interest rates, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And right now, they are paying top dollar for your trade-in, even if you didn't buy from them. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Well, I should stop pointing fingers, reserve my judgment of all those public action figures, the cowboy presidents, so loud behind the bullhorn, so proud they can't admit when they've made a mistake. What poison excuse.
I just love this song. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes, Eric Nelson, filling in for today's local Minnesota radio hour. So, Eric, I want to play the lightning round with you. I'm going to give you two things, and you tell me your preference between the two. 7-Up or Sprite?
7-Up.
Machine Gun Kelly or Eminem?
Pass.
It's Eminem is the right answer.
I don't care. What do you do them?
Barack Obama or Bill Clinton?
Barack Obama.
Minneapolis or St. Paul?
Oh, Minneapolis.
Matt's Bar or 5-8 Club?
5-8 Club.
Snapchat or Facebook?
Facebook.
YouTube or Twitch?
YouTube.
Hourly or salary?
Salary.
Vikings, Packers?
Vikings.
Capitalism, socialism?
Socialism.
And you are not alone with those sentiments. Socialism has become widely accepted in America, which is a long cry from the Cold War and the fear that it invoked.
Or that it's like inherently linked with the USSR.
Yeah, we've made progress in this, and Americans share your opinion. Several different groups have a more favorable opinion of socialism to capitalism. Millennials favor socialism to capitalism, and Democrats have favorable opinions. More?
Is that right?
And why I'm getting at this is this was the topic of conversation on Al Malberg's radio show on a different station. And he was very bitter about this fact and had a segment about the poll, which more Democrats have a favorable opinion of socialism than capitalism. So I spoke for several minutes, and it seemed like a fair conversation at first. It started with the premise that I feel an important aspect to why this shift is occurring in consciousness is because capitalism has failed to deliver to my generation. I am a millennial. And we are the most educated and least compensated generation in modern American history.
His long-winded response to this is that we have stupid degrees, and if we'd go back to school, to trade school, we'd be just fine because there's good-paying jobs, so it's our fault, not capitalism's. And the way I responded to this is, what changed the tone of our conversation from a fair conversation to a not-so-fair conversation? I said that he's making the case for socialism as the reason that these trade school jobs pay living wages is because of the strong labor unions in those industries, which the concept of collective bargaining and collective action in general are central socialist concepts. And his proposition of attending trade schools rather than universities to avoid student debt is a socialist idea in that these programs are funded publicly. So these are the things that socialists are pushing for in America. Well, after that, he wasn't happy that I was able to dunk on him so smoothly, and he started throwing out the standard anti-socialist talking points. It was clear the show had put himself that, well, it was clear that Malberg wasn't the political independent that he was claiming to be at the beginning of the show. He showed his classic reactionary right-wing takes, and he wasn't going to try and outwit my arguments anymore. He was going to resort to cheap tricks so he could come up on top and not give me a chance to respond. So I have a clip of our conversation. Eric, play the short one. This is the very last question he asked me, and I'll explain as it goes.
The size of the United States of America where socialism has succeeded. Name one country.
There is no better country than the United States of America for socialism to succeed because of the mass amount of money and the average amount of money per citizen we have. When Karl Marx wrote about socialism, he wrote it for
like
a
that.
Country like America, not a country like the USSR. And I'm not a Marxist. I'm a socialist.
Well, you just quoted.
Well,
him.
I quoted
Hunter,
it because I am
quote him.
Critiquing
you,
capitalism.
Well, you're agreeing.
Giant you, book about capitalism.
Hunter, you just agreed with Karl Marx. You quoted him. What do you mean you're
I'm
not
an
a Marxist?
Orthodox Marxist for quoting it.
And by the way, you did not answer the question. The question was, name one country the size of the United States
so
where socialism has succeeded.
He hung up on me right here. Listen to that dead air.
Hunter, he hung up. That's too bad. The reason he hung up is because there has been no country the size of the United States where socialism has succeeded. It's always failed.
So, Malberg didn't want to have a conversation. He wanted to play up a cheap trick and boost himself to his audience of old people who can't fall asleep.
Yeah, I wouldn't have blamed you. I would have hung up on that guy. What kind of metric is it? Oh, you agree with him? Oh, you agree with Marx on this one single point. Well, you know, do I agree with Hitler on everything because I prefer dogs to cats?
Yeah, and I was trying to answer his question. But then he poses the question as name one country the size of the United States
and
where socialism has worked, and he hangs up on me.
How many countries are there?
And, well, the point, he had about 10 seconds there of dead air. And I know from hosting radio, when you go to a caller and you don't hear anything, you check. Did we lose them? Did they get disconnected? But no, he knew well that he hung up on me and played it up as a bit. And he continued to go on and talk about this.
Al, we're calling you out.
But why I favor socialism to capitalism is I see that we have massive inequality here in the United States, which is the richest nation in the history of human civilization. Wealth inequality is reaching the most extreme levels since just the beginnings of the Great Depression in 1929.
I think it might even exceed that at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, productivity is going up, up, up. We have not seen any increase in living wages. So.
And we used to have a healthy middle class decades ago, but that's shrunk and poverty has become common. So we need to explore ideas to implement to make life easier for the working class to make ends meet. So the question I feel we need to be asking ourselves and officials is free market capitalism the way it is now the end-all, be-all to how we organize society? Or is there a more fair way? Socialism isn't a single idea, but a large tent of more fair ways of organizing our society that we can implement in different areas of our lives. But to start, I would like to have single-payer health care for every American, strengthen those labor unions and expand them into way more industries than they currently cover, a minimum wage that's a living wage, and legislate it in a way that the government would supplement income for these small businesses who can't afford to pay full income by taxing corporations. Because I'm sick of franchises dominating our landscape. But state and federal job and housing guarantees for every citizen, that was a part of the New Deal that didn't get through. We need to go back to exploring these ideas. And free state and college community and public college education and trade schools like we currently have. And the thing is about Malberg and people like him is I don't understand why they don't even strive for this. Is they mock these ideas. Why would you want to organize a society that didn't at least strive for these things? Well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we have Sandternberg and some others talking about St. Paul's minimum wage increase and tip penalties and how they affect workers. So stay tuned to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Branding Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens is the first green cemetery in Minnesota. It's a beautiful, peaceful place where burials are celebrations of life with as little impact on the environment as possible. Tony Weber founded it because he wants to leave a green legacy for his grandchildren, something many of us might feel. Learn more, visit the website mngreengraves.com. Give them a call. The goal is so meaningful, so positive, it might be right for you. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens.
Through the best of times, through the worst of times, through mixing out the bush, 236, when I step away to fuck with Stalin, I fought for freedom. We live in a
corner. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes, Eric Nelson, filling in for local Minnesota Radio Hour today. And, well, St. Paul is currently in the process of raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. However, there's a push from big businesses to implement a tip penalty for service industry workers. To discuss the consequences of this ordinance, we have in studio producer Sam Turnberg, Sarah Kopp Reddy, a server and part of the Citizens League study, and Eli Edelson-Stein, organizer with Restaurant Opportunity Center for Minnesota. So, Eli, why don't you explain what this tip credit slash penalty is?
Yeah, so the city, like you said, is looking at passing a $15 minimum wage in St. Paul by the end of the year. And what, as you alluded to, the Minnesota Restaurant Association and the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, some big business lobbies, are pushing for is introducing what's called a tip penalty, or what they call a tip credit. And basically what that policy allows businesses to do is pay a sub-minimum wage to tipped workers and let tipped workers make up the difference between the standard minimum wage and that sub-minimum wage with their tips. So the law requires restaurant owners to pay the difference if your tips don't bring you up to that, but what we see across the country where there are tip penalties is that 84% of the time, restaurants, full-service restaurants specifically, aren't in compliance with that law.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that. I know that this is my first engagement with this issue. I mean, I've heard of it, but I haven't gotten down to the details of it. So callers, if you have questions about St. Paul's minimum wage and the tip penalty, give us a call at 952-946-6205. Now, where are we at in this minimum wage increase? It hasn't increased yet?
It has not, no. So Minnesota has been a one fair wage state for 30 years. What we're looking to do in the city of St. Paul, which would mirror what the city of Minneapolis did just this past year, is increase the minimum wage to $15, one fair wage, no carve-outs for servers or people who receive tips. Essentially, where we are in the process is, so the Citizens League makes recommendations to the mayor, and then the mayor passes the ordinance for a vote, or just passes the ordinance. I'm not exactly sure.
I think he proposes the language and works with the city council, I believe.
There you go, right there. So basically, the Citizens League conducted a study, which was a panel of 21 individuals, myself included, to investigate and research this, implications of said ordinance and what the city wants and what the city needs. And what came out of that was a 3-to-1 vote on the side of raising the minimum wage to 15 with no tip penalty slash credit involved in that ordinance. So right now the city council is working on putting some language together to propose to the mayor and moving forward from there.
Now, Mayor Melvin Carter he's for the increase to $15.
Yes, but he's been very vocal.
And where does he stand on the tip credit?
He is against it. He campaigned being against it. And that's one thing I thought about is that he won by a pretty significant margin in the race there. I know that's not the only issue that his campaign was centered around, but there was something where he even sang a song or something silly like that mm-hmm. about how he was against the tip penalty here. So I think that shows a lot of where the people of St. Paul are standing on the issue.
Agreed, yeah.
So who's pushing for this tip penalty?
So right now, the folks that are on the other side of this issue pushing to create a sub-minimum wage for the first time in over 30 years in Minnesota are the Minnesota Restaurant Association, which is an arm of the National Restaurant Association. When you look at their funders, it is the laundry list of corporate interest in our industry, not just like Darden, which is, I believe, a lot of corporate chain restaurants, but also Coca-Cola, Ecolab, folks that are making money on the side of our industry. the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, which is a corporate lobby for bar and liquor sales, and this group called the Restaurant Workers of America, who are fronted by some workers, servers and bartenders, most of whom represent the highest tipped workers in the industry. So folks that are working, for example, at W.A. Frost in St. Paul. And they're an organization who claim to be workers, but have also openly admitted that they are funded by business owners and have collaborated with some of the most right-wing PR and lobby firms in the country. Mm-hmm. And there's some sort of expositional articles about them.
We're talking about the St. Paul minimum wage increase to $15 an hour and the implications of a tip penalty. Now, who are some organizations that are helping you all in this fight?
So we have ROC, the Restaurant Opportunity Center, which is an organization that started in New York City and has branches all over our country, and they fight for workers' rights in the service industry, but in other low-wage work, too. I mean, they cover more bases than just that, but it's mainly restaurant workers. 15 Now, the Poor People's Campaign. There's another group that I know is very supportive.
There's some faith-based groups. Mm-hmm. Isaiah, the which is a Christian, actually it's a multi-faith social justice group, Jewish Community Action. Mm-hmm. There's the AFL-CIO, which is the labor movement in Minnesota, has endorsed, actually just recently endorsed, one fair wage policy support in their sort of articles of association or whatever that is.
It's a lot of very grassroots campaigns and organizations.
Now, can you name some examples of other cities on each side of this? Like some cities that have increased the minimum wage without a tip penalty and some that have with one, and the differences between the two?
I don't know if there have been any that have increased to 15 with a tip penalty. I don't believe any have. But there have been quite a few now. I mean, the movement in our country from progressive individuals is towards this livable wage with no carve-outs.
Yeah, I think it's important to say that most states in the country currently already have the tip penalty built in. So, like, this is us kind of, we're trying to change. Gotcha. And Seattle, I know, was one of the first places, I believe, that went and did this.
Correct.
In Washington.
Yep.
And most recently, Minneapolis just did this. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years, but it was recent, within the past couple of years, Minneapolis did this with no tip penalty. So, but yeah. Most of the country isn't like that.
And I have a friend who actually was like for the tip penalty, who is a waiter. And I was wondering, I mean, he's a conservative guy, obviously. And what could possibly be the argument that a waiter would want to have a tip penalty? Because I see a lot of restaurants, he had restaurant staff with him, like trying to support him. It seemed like kind of a fringe idea. It seemed like most of them didn't agree with it. But what's their argument?
I think it's a lot of fear-based, fear-based, I'm going to call it misinformation. We were discussing the term misinformation before we came in here and how it's a really nice way of phrasing propaganda. So it's a lot of fear-based misinformation from these lobbyist groups, from business owners saying, well, we are going to go out of business. You're not going to get tips anymore. You're going to, you know, all our sales are going to decrease. It's going to implode. Everything's going to be horrible.
Oh, sure. So then, like, you know, they'll get tipped less because a customer has to pay more? Is that the idea?
Essentially, or places will move in the direction of, you know, service charges, et cetera. But there's no evidence there. There's literally no example of that happening in our country, certainly not in our state. Our state has been a one fair wage state, as we stated before, for 30 years. And when this happened the first time, There was none of that, and
the same argument was presented, though, but we've seen the restaurant industry thrive, and I'm pretty sure I actually, from the restaurant or restaurant association, the first Minnesota Restaurant Association, on their page, I think it even was that I got, I don't have the link or anything, but the 2017 was one of the better years in Minnesota for restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that there are sort of several main points of misinformation that are being pushed into our industry for workers. One is that models will change, that folks will move away from tipping models in restaurants, which is a trend nationally, but not a big one. And actually, when you look at the highest wage industries in our country, tipping is still the norm, and tip averages are about the same. So you have folks that are making the full wage and getting tipped, which is what we've had in Minnesota for the longest time. Mm-hmm. We are fighting for the city council to introduce an ordinance that mirrors the Santa Monica policy, which actually has built into it protections around service charge models or different models that might change tipping practices.
So we only have a couple minutes. What can people do? What is the call to action here?
I mean, as always, get involved. Please feel free to, reach out to any of us. I'm happy to talk to anybody at any time. I also think that if you want to get involved with ROC is a really great organization, and they do a lot of great work for restaurant workers and people who care about the restaurant industry. Talk to city council, call city council, go to city council meetings.
What's the, Eli, you were bringing up there's another city council hearing, I think, coming up. What's the date for that?
So there's a city council hearing on October 17th that we're mobilizing people to.
My birthday.
Hey.
Oh, happy birthday.
Come on out. We'll have birthday drinks afterwards.
What a better way to celebrate your birthday than fighting for fair wages.
Oh, and tip it really good.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tip your bartender well. You can join our Facebook group, Restaurant Opportunity Centers of Minnesota. If you're in the industry, definitely get in contact with us. We support folks in workplace justice fights as well as policy matters. And if you can't make it to the city council hearing on the 17th, email or call your city council member in St. Paul demanding for a $15 minimum wage, one fair wage for all workers.
Absolutely. Thanks. And I'm very happy with all that all of you are doing. It's very important that we stand up for the working class and the rights and to tread in a positive direction, because we have been going in the negative as in terms of income and hourly pay and that. So is there anything you'd like to let the listeners know before we go?
Call city council.
Yeah, I think that I know my rent goes up every year. My student loan payments go up every year. I know we, at the place I work, we've been doing fine. Our volume's been going up, but I'm not making any more money off of it really. And I'm kind of priced out of my apartment. So yeah, it'd be great to be able to get one fair wage, $15 minimum wage.
Absolutely. Increase the minimum wage, no tip penalty. All right, we'll be right back after this on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Parade of Homes.
Find your place in a community you'll love on the Parade of Homes. It's the final weekend to tour. Free guidebooks at holiday. Details online at paradeofhomes.org.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
Hi, Sarah from Vinaigrette. Farmers markets are everywhere, and summer's bounty is limitless. Try a rustic caprese salad using spring mix, fresh mozzarella, grape or cherry tomatoes, red onion, fresh basil, garlic olive oil, and our 18-year-age balsamic. Or try grilled romaine brushed with Tunisian olive oil. Vinaigrette makes it easy to love your vegetables. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis or 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes, Eric Nelson, filling in for local Minnesota Radio Hour today. Great show. Tip credits. Forget those penalties. Well, we got a call. Gary in Minneapolis. Gary's on the line. Oh, never mind. Gary is continuing to jabber on the other line. So, all right, we don't have Gary. Well, I want to go over a couple of headlines. I mean, obviously, the Kavanaugh hearings today. Just quickly, Chris Wallace, my daughters disclosed incidents from their youth after Kavanaugh allegations. The first time a woman tried to speak in the Kavanaugh hearing, she was interrupted. Americans are not going to forget this day, especially women. Fox News' Chris Wallace says this is a disaster for Republicans. Kavanaugh misled senators under oath before getting confirmed, and that's really the root of this. I mean, whether he did it or not, the fact that there are so many inconsistencies in the story is what is very concerning with a Supreme Court justice of all things. GOP support for Kavanaugh and Trump is plummeting. Three GOP governors call for delaying Kavanaugh's vote. And these are all headlines from today. So, I mean, it's just the news. There's so many different directions this story has. It's a total mess, and the GOP is trying to push through this nomination. And we'll see tomorrow how this goes when the Justice Committee votes on the hearing.
Yeah, for the first time in a little bit, it's not looking likely.
I know, and I really thought they were going to be able to push this through. But thanks for listening today. Hunter Hawes, Eric Nelson on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.